Something About Mary, Totus to Us.
Hello, well, my name's Sarah, and I'm in England, and I'm a bard with a bard school, which basically means I'm a poet and storyteller, and I like to encourage artists to pursue their vocation. Under grace, to be prophetic and nourishing for the kingdom of God. And, well, today is the feast day of the Nativity of St. John the Baptist, and it reminds me about how Our Lady of Medjugorje, I suppose I have to say allegedly, but Our Lady, when I first heard about her, when I was about 13, appeared first on that day. She didn't speak to the children, but she appeared on that day just like St. John the Baptist, a forerunner of Jesus, of that great hope. And what I love about this is that Our Lady is part of a big plan, and she knows she's part of a big plan. And she, no matter how amazing she is, she's always just doing God's will. That's what amazes me about her. She's part of this bigger plan, and she fits into this big picture with all the other saints, and everything's orchestrated by God. And she knows this. And I just love the fact that she always inspires me to look for the bigger picture. Now, being an artist, you can often think that your artistic work is like, whoa, the centre of the universe and the answer to everything. And when I was first setting up a bard school to encourage artists, it was on the way to Lourdes that I met a lovely priest who encouraged me to begin it at his parish. And I just realised that Lourdes, Our Lady of Lourdes, and the way she spoke to us in Lourdes was the key to healing the artistic vocation. Now, I'll tell you about that a little bit more in a moment, but I'm just remembering when I first was catechised and I heard the gospel. And that was when I was 13 years old. I'd been baptised when I was, you know, a baby, but I hadn't heard anything really much about faith after that. Except when my parents took me to a museum of witchcraft when I was 11, and I was really aware, for the first time in my life, of the real existence of evil. So that really helped me, actually. It shocked and horrified me, and I remember running out of this museum of the black arts, which had things in it that were just too horrible to even tell you about. I ran out of this museum of horrors, and I stood on the harbour wall, and I just was in a state of shock, really. And I guess I realised there needed to be something beautiful in the world that wasn't like that. And so this couple of years later, my aunt, because I did have an aunt who was Catholic, was praying the rosary in the garden at my other aunt's farm. And she only told me this the other day because I'd forgotten all about it. I went outside to ask, "What are you doing?" And she was praying the rosary with two of my cousins. And I was a bit intrigued and didn't really understand anything about it. But I suddenly remembered how it's always Our Lady who's inviting me, always Our Lady who's attracting me. Even when my mind doesn't understand, she's always been the one in attracting me to goodness, attracting me to beauty, attracting me to the next step forward. And so the next day, apparently, I went along to Mass and I chatted to the priest afterwards. I didn't really understand anything about anything. But then the next year, my sister decided not to go to my school, and so my sister was sent off to catechism lessons so that she could go to the Catholic school, which is called Our Lady of Mount Carmel. And so we went along to these lessons, because she wouldn't go to them without me, and all we did was learn the Penny Catechism, and that was enough. I just thought, that's it. That's the answer to all that horror that I saw in that museum of witchcraft. And then they told us we had to choose a name for ourselves, a confirmation name. And I thought, oh, I have absolutely no idea. And then they told me the story of Our Lady of Lourdes. And it was just a revelation to me. And I just knew that I wanted to be something that was close to Our Lady. And so I chose the name Bernadette, which I thought was frankly a horrible name. But because it was the only person I knew who'd had an apparition of Our Lady at the time, I thought, well, I don't care. I'll just be called that. And now I think it's a very nice name. And so that's my confirmation name, Bernadette. And so like 20 years later or so, when I set up the Bard School, it really belongs to Our Lady of Lourdes and Our Lady of Medjugorje. And I think I'll just finish by telling you why. Our Lady revealed some really interesting things there in Lourdes. One was her name. She explained, "I am the Immaculate Conception." So she expresses something so wonderful in the universe that there is someone who is the Immaculate Conception, and you can just think about that forever. And when she said her immaculate heart would triumph, this has an immense political significance. And artists speak because they want to change the polis. They want to change the world too. But first we need to be immersed in the immaculate heart of Mary. So that's one thing I wanted artists to take refuge in, so that their work didn't become the centre, but became something nonetheless important. Secondly, there was the spring of healing water. It heals because of the grace of Christ, and it represents the overflowing abundance of God's healing power, the water springing from the side of Christ, the water flowing from the sanctuary. And that's another thing I wanted artists to know, that if we can be purified in our hearts, then the work that comes from us will be more purifying, and that we need to constantly seek healing in Christ, because otherwise our artwork gets stuck and we just keep reflecting on our own pathologies, and other people reflect on their pathologies, and we don't really go anywhere else with it. And then this other really fascinating thing, when Bernadette is asked to eat the grass, and I thought, what on earth is that about? And then I was thinking about, why did Our Lady do that? And then if you look at the readings of the feast day of either Bernadette or of Our Lady of Lourdes, I can't remember which one it is, it becomes very clear that it's a reference to when Nebuchadnezzar roamed around like a beast as a punishment for his idolatry, and he had to eat the grass like an oxen, because they did worship oxen, and, you know, idols that were animals. And I thought, why is this message really important? And then I thought, yes, Our Lady is telling us about the overturning of idolatry. And this is what artists particularly have to know. One, we are not our own creators. Two, our art is not an idol. It is just a little leaf of the tree that shall be for the healing of the nations if it's rooted in Christ. And that the world, when it goes wrong, and is exactly that. It has worshipped itself rather than God. And so what I want to say is that Our Lady has always been not only the most attractive teacher, but the cleverest teacher. She just does things really simply. She goes right to the heart of the matter. And that if you ever want to teach or you ever want to learn, the thing to do is to just go to Our Lady and see how she teaches. So if you go and have a look at all her apparitions, there's something you can do, whether it's Our Lady of Guadalupe or Our Lady of Fatima, and just look at the specific way of teaching she's provided at that moment. She's given you all the ingredients for that particular situation. Maybe in that country it's got a political issue, she'll have given the solution. Maybe there's a spiritual sickness, she'll have given the solution. She's a very brilliant teacher, and she has the humility to make it extremely simple. So I just want to thank Our Lady for her phenomenal prophetic catechesis, and for all her love, and for all her guidance, and for all her infinite patience, because frankly, how little do I really respond to what she asks, and yet she just carries on inviting. So on this feast day, I just want to thank Our Lady as we prepare for her feast day of the Immaculate Heart, too, so close to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Thank you.